Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about some advice for parents who have their kids involved in youth sports or interested in getting their kids involved in youth sports.
I love the title.
Yeah.
You know, I had to read this when I happened upon it. Lessons learned from 27 years. I can't even imagine 27 years.
27 years of youth sports. Youth sport parenting.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is an article from the Seattle Times.
Right.
The link is in the show notes. There's actually two articles linked in the show notes, and the other is from Healthline, kind of talking about how pediatricians recommend children to play more than one sport. And that's something that this guy mentions as well.
Yeah, we talked about that in one of the other podcasts this week about the American Academy of Pediatrics and how they really speak with some authority because they get experts from the field and they put together these position papers and one of them was on youth sports, and they said one of the things they said is that have your child play more than one sport. It's good for many reasons, but the main one is that you move away from this idea that you're going to begin your professional career at age 6 or 7 or 3, you know, because you hear these stories of Tiger Woods or Olympic athletes or the Serena and Venus Williams who started their sport at age 2 or 3.
They are the outliers.
But they're going to be outliers their entire lives. That would have happened for them and to them no matter what they did. They would have been discovered in school or in some playground. You just discover those outliers because they're so different. So don't think just because you start your child at 3 that your child's going to become an outlier.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
No. And one of the other reasons why playing multiple sports is important is, there's two other reasons. One is that it helps reduce fatigue.
Right.
When a child is doing the same sport constantly, you know, they get really good at using those muscles in those ways, but it limits some of their diversity in their physical awareness and physical activities, and that can be a problem down the line.
Yeah, think of it as cross training. You know, it's better to do multiple things, and the way our joints work, my brother always reminds me of this, is that most of our ball and socket joints are meant to move in 360 degrees. If you do the same sport over and over again, you're moving in the same direction. For example, runners have the same motion.
Right.
It's back and forth. And it's meant to be a circular 360 degree. So one is fatigue, and the other is you're developing one set of muscles.
Right.
And what you should be doing in these developmental years, you should be developing all of your muscles.
Right.
And you do that by participating in a range of sports.
Right. Mm-hmm. Second or last reason that playing one sport is more problematic is that the kid just gets burned out
from it.
And that was mentioned in the article about the 27 years of sport parenting. The kids will get burned out, and so it defeats the purpose that you think you're trying to accomplish.
Right. Yeah, you think all this work and effort and participation is making a child better. What you may be doing is just turning the child off to all sports by the time they're 12 or 13.
Right. Mm-hmm. So as we go through some of these things to consider, to think about as a parent.
How many are there?
He has
a long list.
He has a whole lot of
bullet points. There's about 27 of them.
Okay. Yeah. But there's a few that we're going to highlight because they're important, and they're important for parents to be aware of because, let's just say this: the second one was one that caught my eye, and he says, "Throw the words select, premier, or elite in front of a sports program, and there's no end to the amount of effort and money we parents will put forth to get our kid into it."
Mm-hmm.
I think that is so important for parents to understand. Sports teams, especially competitive or travel teams, they will use those kinds of words. Right. They really don't mean
what you imagine them meaning. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, we my soccer team is, you know, we're sort of second division, right, sometimes even third division. We're these aren't the best kids in mm-hmm. the league from their particular performance level. They love playing, right, and we've fostered a culture of just fun and enjoyment mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. But they're not,
right,
these aren't going to be professional players.
Mm-hmm.
But and most of them know that. I said most of them
know, right, that.
But what will happen is we will go to a match and we'll play. We'll look at the other team that we're playing, and they'll be called the premier this or that, or the mm-hmm. you know elite this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you go into it with this anxiety. They're
no better.
No better than mm-hmm. than we are. So yeah. it's a tactic, a strategy used mm-hmm. to sort of differentiate two levels of a team or something like that.
Right.
But it is in some ways just a hook,
right,
to get people to be involved in it.
Right. Yeah, it's true. That's where every parent wants his or her child to be at that elite level, mm-hmm. And that's often not what it means.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So that was one that really caught my eye.
I like the fourth one.
Yeah.
Because, oh, yeah, you know, if your goal is to get your child to be a Division I athlete, you need to rethink it. First of all, it's probably not going to happen.
Right.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah.
I mean, the
probability is so small.
My kids play tennis, and the tennis players who play Division I tennis have already been to professional tournaments.
Right.
They've been to Wimbledon. They've been to the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
They're competing at an international level. They're ranked internationally.
Right.
Well, take a look at your city. Look at all the tennis players and tell me how many are ranked internationally.
Yeah.
In the teens and 20s,
yeah,
because that's who's playing Division I tennis.
Right.
They are professional level players.
Yeah.
Okay, there just aren't that many of them around, and it doesn't matter what the sport is.
Right.
You know, Division I football, baseball, basketball. These are highly skilled athletes.
Right.
Okay. So
yeah,
it's probably not going to happen.
Right.
And if it is going to happen, you'll know it when they're 9 or 10 because they're going to be playing with older kids.
And regardless, that shouldn't be your goal.
It shouldn't be the goal anyway. That's right. Even if it shouldn't be, because that's what's going to drive you to drive your kids crazy.
Right. 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 Another one that actually pulls from several of the bullet points he has there,
yeah,
kind of harkens back to what we talked about yesterday, which is, you know, over-involved, demanding parents
mm-hmm.
can be a problem. But the important thing is for parents to be nurturing and encouraging,
right,
and supportive, and not just of their child, but of the other players and of the coach and everyone involved.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It's so important.
Yeah. The happiest day in a sport parent's life is,
yeah,
when your child can drive him or herself, yes, to practices and games.
We were talking about
that. It's true. Oh my gosh.
You and I were talking about that in between right, recording podcasts.
Right.
That for my team, my players now drive, and it's
such a relief.
It's so better.
You know, it keeps the parents out,
yeah,
too. One of the other things he mentions earlier, and I agree with him, the best players at the youngest ages, 8, 9,
right,
are typically not the best players,
right,
when they become young adults or older teenagers. And the reason is puberty.
Right.
Okay, and he calls puberty the great equalizer, and it really is. Until a child has gone through puberty,
yeah,
it is about 3 years out, and they've had that growth spurt, you really don't know what their muscle system is going to look,
right,
like and how it's going to react.
Right.
And so don't put too much emphasis on what happens at 8 mm-hmm. or 9, because that's all going to change after puberty.
Yeah.
Okay? So
yeah,
get ready.
I like what he says about the recommendations or encouragements about umpires and referees. Look, if the umpire, referee, or whoever is under the age of 18,
mm-hmm,
chill out.
Right.
You know, it's a kid.
It's
doing the best
kid
he can. Don't yeah, whine and complain and argue and,
right,
debate and, you know, scream at.
Call him blue.
Yeah, it's a the kid.
Right.
And even if it's an adult, but it's a volunteer,
well,
just chill out.
It's either a volunteer or it's some high school kid making $20 for coaching, you know.
For refereeing
Or for refereeing a match,
yeah,
you know. And yeah, leave them alone.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing their best. Speaking of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, don't buy the expensive equipment. And he says, a corollary.
Yeah.
If there's a choice between a $150 bat and a $300 bat, buy the $150 bat. And then he says, just trust me on this one.
Yeah.
But he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
You can't. I was shocked when we played, of course, we didn't buy any equipment, maybe shoes and a glove. Mm-hmm. Everything else was provided. When my son played, and I skipped a generation here, when my son went back to play, suddenly these young kids were carrying bags.
Yeah.
They were carrying all their equipment, you know, fakes, but well, rubber cleats. You know, mm-hmm. they couldn't wear steel until they were 13. Yeah. Helmets, batting, their own batting helmet, their own glove, batting gloves, and metal bats, and all this equipment. Even the catchers, their parents would buy them all their own catching equipment. We used whatever equipment was supplied to us.
Yeah. You
know? So I was surprised with this equipment business and the expense of it.
Very expensive.
I don't know how...
Well, the rise of the sports store,
yes.
you know,
right.
is because of all of that. Yeah, because you and it's interesting as we think about it that way, that as parents and players have become more and more responsible for getting their own equipment, fees to play in sports, the registration fees, continued to go up. And you wonder, why are they still going up? The coaches are volunteers. You're not buying equipment for the kids to use because they all have their own equipment. So why are you spending, you know, $150 to play recreation soccer when the parents have everything, are buying everything?
Yeah, you're buying everything. Yeah, my son was a catcher for a while, and I remember going out and getting, I think we bought him a whole set of catcher's gear.
I did with my son, yeah.
Yeah.
And another one that he mentions, or that was related to buying the expensive equipment, is I'm also amazed at parents who bend when their kids want these really expensive, this really expensive gear that they're just going to grow out of.
In 2 years, they'll grow out of it.
Or even less than that, in soccer, that's what I know the most is, you know, you can buy soccer boots or soccer cleats that $200, $250, and I had players on my team whose parents bought them boots and my son would ask for them. I was like, you know, in one season,
in 6 months,
his foot would go from a size 10 to a size 12.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to buy $200 shoes when you're going to grow out of them in a couple of months.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Or a bat. You know, you buy a bat and you spend $300 for it and suddenly it's too small.
Right. And then you grow an inch and now all of a sudden it needs to be a bigger bat. So, it's, so save on the heavy equipment.
Save your money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to matter.
Yeah, and some of the one of the last ones that he has here is that, you know, in the end, it's not about sports.
Right.
It's not about the matches or the games or any of that kind of stuff. It's about building relationships. It's about having fun. It's about learning about themselves. It's about a lot of the other psychosocial aspects of athletics that have nothing to do with the game or sport itself.
Right. We said early on this week that one of the things we're robbing our children of is the opportunity to do unstructured play where they learn how to negotiate everything.
Right.
Okay, it's one thing to take that away. It's another thing to replace it with these highly competitive, highly organized, very expensive sports where the adults have taken over and the kids are just sort of participants. They're not really actively engaged. They're there because the adults are there. The other thing that one of the writers said, and I don't remember which one it was, don't make the ride home from the game the worst time of your child's life.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine what is said in cars after the game to these poor kids? You know, they've gone out there, they've done their best, they're doing as well as they can, they have multiple things going on, they have to go to school the next day, and on the way home, after every game, you have to have this lecture, and it must be the worst experience of a child's life to go through those lectures.
Yeah.
You know, leave them alone, go out and have dinner, go out and enjoy yourself. You just put your kid through this pressure cooker of a game.
Yeah.
Don't add to it by that miserable car ride home.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so. Yeah. So read through them. There's a whole lot more written in this article about this. Again, you know, he just as a little you know, teaser, one of the things he says is the greatest psychological trauma that you could that could happen to your kid is for them to make the All-Star team.
That's right. No, but this guy has done it. Yeah. I mean, he's done it for 27 years with several boys and girls. He's had sons and daughters participating in sports from little bitty kids to high schoolers. Mm-hmm. So he does speak with a lot of experience and a lot of wisdom that he's learned over time. We have all learned that. I wished I could go back and redo some of my, I mean, it's horrible.
So read the check out the article. You will certainly enjoy it. So,
yeah, I did.
All right. Well, that is it then. Yeah, for today.
It's been a fun week.
It has.
With this topic.
It has.
We should go out and play some more sports. Yes. Well, have fun.
Yeah.
You know, geez, got that fun.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.